Hello, my friends. Welcome to Let's Talk. My name is Shay Marville, and I think one of the most important skills in this world is being able to have a conversation with a friend or a foe. Let's Talk is a podcast about listening, growing, connecting, and hoping through compassion and talking. And I mean really talking about the good things and the hard things, and with remarkable people living in a remarkable time. So let's talk. On today's episode, I have the privilege of speaking to Paul Courtnar. He is the CEO of the Ontario Science Center. Dr. Courtnar is on a mission. He believes that the Ontario Science Center and science centers generally have a responsibility to improve our communities, to be diverse and dynamic, to help make the world a more resilient place that supports young people as they build and shape the new world that we're living in. Paul, welcome to Let's Talk. So let's talk. I'm a huge fan of the Ontario Science Center and science centers in general. I just think their role is so important. Now, how are you and the Science Center doing? This is probably a really pivotal moment for science museums and communication, right?
Well, and thank you so much for having me on, Shay. I really appreciate it. It is an exciting moment for science centers. You know, we closed on March the 13th, and I didn't become the CEO of the Science Center until the end of March. And so I haven't actually been the CEO while we've been open. But this catastrophe of a pandemic has also been an opportunity to think about the way that we connect to our communities, the way that we engage with people. You know, for a long time, the Science Center here in Toronto, but also science centers around the world, have been thinking about what does it mean to engage with people remotely? How do we engage with people who cannot come into the Science Center because they live too far away or for other accessibility reasons? And so this really gave us an opportunity to think about our mission and to think about how we could meet our mission in new ways. So the doors have been closed at 770 Don Mills, but the Science Center has been open to everyone in the province and really everyone in the world as we produce educational materials for the province, for teachers that match the curriculum, as right. We've been producing interactives, Facebook events. We now have virtual reality and augmented reality supports online. So we're really trying to imagine how we create a genuine Science Center experience for people who can only engage with us currently in a remote way. And that's been really exciting. So it is a challenging time, but it's a very exciting time.
So actually, in a sense, you are the CEO of a digital science experience, in a way you are now leading a virtual science museum experience.
That's absolutely correct. So the interesting thing in that is we recognized very early on, and I've been speaking at conferences about this, etc., this virtual science center is not going away. Mm-hmm. So even when the doors reopen and we welcome back, you know, the million visitors a year we see at the Ontario Science Center, we are still going to have the virtual science museum. We're still going to be building that, creating, experimenting with it, etc. And so the new audiences that we're discovering through our virtual science center have our commitment that we will be there for them moving forward. We are going to be both a physical and a virtual digital museum going forward.
Wow. So in so many ways, sort of the vision that has been percolating for a while about not just the Ontario Science Center, but science centers in general becoming more virtual spaces that are interactive and create opportunities for communities to come together has been expedited because of the pandemic.
That's exactly correct. I think You know, we had talked, as you say, there had been these ideas percolating, and we had talked for some time about what does a science center look like in the virtual world? Because science centers have a particular way of engaging with our audience that's different from an art museum or a natural history museum. And so how do we reproduce that method of engagement we have inside the building for our virtual audiences? And I think it was really a missed opportunity. You know, we were using our website and our social media channels largely as marketing tools.
Right.
And they are important as marketing tools, but we weren't using them as to engage with audiences in the way that science centers engage. And that's something we're exploring now. And we're going to make mistakes, but you know, that's part of innovation, is to make mistakes along the way.
Certainly.
And how to move forward.
Certainly. I mean, we learn so much from the failures and our missteps. I wonder, though, as we evolve into a society that is a world society of digital citizens, what the role of science communication is in terms of building a collective philosophy about science and who has access to science and how you think and ask questions and come to terms with different answers. Is the science centers have a role in doing that work?
I think we do. I think it's important for people to understand that the Science Center isn't really a center of science research. It's a hub for people to be able to connect with the science happening in the world around them. So we are, and along with a number of other science centers, but we in particular are championing this idea of science capital. You know, people live their lives, they have to make decisions about the way they live their lives. You know, and a lot of those decisions are impacted by their understanding and their engagement with science writ large. Now, the Science Center is not responsible for an individual's or a community's science capital. We are one part of a nexus of things that work together. So, you know, we teach science in school. That's part of how people build science capital. We have national parks in the country. We have newspapers that convey science information. But science centers help people engage with science in a very different way than exists in other through other media. And so we are one vital component of the creation of a kind of milieu of science capital for the community, for individuals, so that decisions people make about their own lives and decisions governments make for communities are rooted in science and an understanding of the way that science works. And I think the Science Center plays a very unique role in connecting people, in making people feel engaged with the science in the world around them.
See, I'm, you know, that's so interesting, because you see the role of the Science Center changing as, you know, as we change as a society and as our needs change and ebb in terms of where we get our information and how we learn. Can I ask you how you got into science?
So this is actually something really interesting, and this harks back to something we talked about before.
Yes.
So I had a couple of really phenomenal high school science teachers. So I think, and if I look back, that's how I got into science. Like, it was, those were the classes I liked going to, and it was because of the teachers, not necessarily because of the material.
Right.
And the reason I think it's so interesting is because just last week, two of the women on my staff were interviewed by the Minister of Education, Stephen Lecce, in order to talk about how they became women in science, women in STEM, for the Women in STEM Day.
Right.
And both of them referenced teachers they'd had who sparked their interest in science. And then they went on, one of them to complete a PhD and the other to become a science teacher. And I thought that was really interesting because it was also my own experience. And so when in a previous part of my career, when I taught Teachers College, I often tried to get my future science teachers that I was working with to understand that their job in large part was to get kids excited about science so that they chose STEM careers going forward or chose to study STEM at university. Because if the teacher isn't exciting, then the subject material isn't exciting. And that's something that a science center does itself, right? It makes science and math and technology approachable and exciting and welcoming. And that, I think, changes people's view of whether science is for them.
Right.
And you know, but so I can honestly say, you know, I did my undergraduate degree is in genetics from McGill. And I went into genetics because I had these incredible teachers who taught me in high school and made me think like, oh, well, that's what I'm interested in, you know.
But then your trajectory is quite interesting in the sense that how many teachers then work in science museums or organizations that are not necessarily only for education?
Well, and it wouldn't even have occurred to me, except that, as you know, the Ontario Science Centre is, if not unique, rare in that it has a public high school embedded in the museum. And so I actually, my first role at the Ontario Science Centre was as a teacher in that embedded high school. And so I don't know that I would have thought about the Ontario Science Centre as a career, as science centres being something I was particularly interested in. But then when I was broken out of my comfort zone by leaving the traditional classroom and coming to the Science Center, I began to recognize how the way that the Science Center engages with school audiences and then larger audiences writ large was fundamentally different and was vital to the way that kids learn science. So I'm not discounting what happens in science classrooms. I think kids need that experience as well. But I think every kid needs the experience of the way that the Science Center presents challenges, presents experiments, presents the world, and the way that you engage with the world in a Science Center. That's a necessary experience for every child to have growing up. And so, I'm very interested in how we provide that experience to every child so that they can make the best decisions possible for themselves, for their lives, for their societies going forward.
You know, it strikes me, I'm not certain, but are you the first leader of the Science Center who has, like first CEO who has been a teacher?
So I doubt that. I don't.
I mean, a professor, but like a teacher in high school. Right. I wonder. I don't know. I mean, I'm genuinely asking. The reason I'm asking is because, in a way, what a synergistic fit for this very transformational time that we're going through, where you're probably partnering a lot now. I mean, I know you were before as an institution with education, but probably more so now by having some of your specialists work within the schools or partnering with the schools.
So that's actually true. We are building even stronger links directly with the Ministry of Education and with the school districts. I don't know, because I don't know the background of all of the CEOs that I work with. Ironically, right. My sister is also the CEO of a science center in Ithaca, New York, and she started her career also as a science teacher. So I know that this pathway is not unique, though yes. It might be unique to Courtney's.
maybe. What are you learning right now? I'm sure there's many, many things, but are there, maybe two or three things that you're learning right now as a cultural institution about interacting with the public, digitally that you didn't know before?
Oh, so if you bring it to digitally, that's interesting. So I would say for me, the steepest learning curve at the Science Center so far, because of course I've come from being the CEO of two other cultural organizations, is that it's a government agency. And so you have mandates from the government about who your audience is. Like the government gives us a mandate to be the Science Center for everyone in the province, because we are the Ontario Science Center.
Right.
And I think many other science centers, I was in charge of a science center in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and we would have thought of ourselves as predominantly for our local community, mm-hmm. as opposed to being the science center for all of North Carolina or something like that. So it's that broadening our reach that I think is something I have to learn a lot about. And then, as I say, in the digital, it's really a challenge for me, but it has been, for me, it's been an interesting challenge. I've been really impressed with the education department at the Science Center, mm-hmm. and its transformation over the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. When I first started at the Science Center, our educational programs were very like shows that could be done in a classroom. Mm-hmm. It's only that we had somewhat better equipment than a science teacher in a school might have.
Right.
The feeling in a studio or the auditorium was much the same as the feeling in a classroom. It put a scientist at the front of the room and the students to be wowed sitting looking at the person at the front of the room.
Sure.
And that has been changing, and changing rapidly, that we have moved towards inquiry models, into project-based education, even in the programming we run in quite short periods of time at the Science Center, we've really questioned how do we create a genuine Science Center experience for a visiting class,
right.
and not present them with a lecture, etc. And I think when you ask me what I'm learning about digital, I think one of the interesting things is that we initially, last March and April, we put we put our programming online, and we chose the programming that was again lecture style, with somebody at the front as if the audience was static and watching this. And very quickly we are learning to convert and to think about how do you put inquiry-based, project-based learning into a virtual environment? Because, even when the public starts coming back in the building at 770 Don Mills, I think personally it will be quite a while before field trips come back
sure.
the way that we've imagined them in the past. And we are the largest school field trip program in the nation, in Canada.
Wow.
And so it's very important that we get our digital field trips right.
Yes.
That if we know what education should look like in the Science Center, that we manage to recreate that experience outside of the Science Center in the virtual realm. So I think that's what we are all learning at the moment, is how do we translate that inquiry, project-based learning that we know works so well in our building How do we translate that into the digital realm?
So that's quite interesting, because it also means if you can do that, or when you do that, I mean, there's no doubt you can, you can and you will, you can then actually have a larger reach, because there's no reason why your program couldn't go to South Africa or Mexico or Italy, you know, and, you know, be in the classrooms there.
Well, and that's actually, we are already partnering with a museum in Juarez in Mexico. You know, we're partnering with a museum in British Columbia, because, yes, and indeed, this is what you can do. Our expertise, so it's an interesting thing. You know, my board asked me early on, you know, why are we producing digital content? What do we hope to accomplish?
Yes.
Because, you know, even though we're the Ontario Science Center and I have a phenomenal staff, we are not going to compete with the Discovery Channel. Mm-hmm. You know, the quality of what we produce in terms of that kind of video, the beauty of that video, and having teams traveling, you know, on a safari in Africa and being able to share that experience, we can't compete. Right. But that's okay, because that's not what people are expecting from us. Mm-hmm. What they're expecting from the Science Center is somebody who can translate and make the science feel welcoming and approachable and understandable, mm-hmm, to families, to everybody within a family, within multi-generations. And so what we're doing online is not producing videos to show our public about the natural world.
Right.
We are taking our educators, our presenters, our team, and taking what they do inside the center, connecting our visitors to the science in intelligible and smart ways, and we're asking them to recreate that in the virtual environment. And that is unique to Science Centers. So we have a unique content to put up. And at the same time, it's really something the Ontario Science Center excels at for our region. So, you know, there are hundreds of science centers across North America and around the world, all of whom are producing this digital content. So why engage with the Ontario Science Center? So we are going to have to give you the Ontario slant. We're going to have to make a personal connection,
yes,
with you here, so that we are the science center that you come to. Like, let's imagine, for example, this summer, if we offer virtual summer camps along with the in-person camps in the building. So let's say that's the scenario, and there's been no decision made about this yet.
Sure.
But we know that if we do that, that the Pacific Science Center in Seattle is also doing that.
Yes.
So why, as a parent, do you opt to come to our summer camp virtually, mm-hmm, and not go to the Pacific Science Center summer camp virtually? So we're going to have to not only make personal connections, mm-hmm, but make those personal connections important, that they're local, that you can build on that connection.
It's also the diversity of ideas that you're creating as well. The Science Center, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't know what all science museums have in their home. The Science Center has an in-house fabrication, design, and science department that interacts with the educational department. Now, that's a really interesting sort of mix of disciplines, correct? Does that translate into your digital experience as well?
So as of yet, we haven't figured out, I think, how to translate that well. You know, but we are trying to imagine an entire digital strategy. So not just our initial response was to knee-jerk put you know, Facebook Lives up, etc.
Right, right.
You know, so now that we have the time and the energy, we're really trying to imagine how do we make this work across the institution. So I think you bring up our fabrication, our design, our science teams. I think what's really important is that we recognize we're not trying to recreate the Ontario Science Centre in the virtual world. Mm. We are trying to recreate the kind of engagement we have at the Ontario Science Centre in the real world, and in the virtual world, pardon me. And when we do that, I think if we approach it from the idea of how can we create a genuine experience virtually, you know, designed perhaps by our designers, etc., and then use that so that if a visitor comes to the physical building,
yes,
the experience can be enriched, so that they can go further with the experience than they could online. And I think of a particular, you know, so one of our exhibit halls is the AstraZeneca Human Edge.
Yes.
And I think, you know, there's a lot of places within that space in the Science Center where, as a young member of a family, you can kind of test yourself. You know, how can I do this climbing wall? How high can I jump? All these different things that really talk about the limits of the way that humans physically engage with the world around them. And then I think, well, so how do we take that experience into the virtual world? We're not recreating it. We're not trying to create a virtual climbing wall. We're instead providing you with other ways to test yourself in the virtual world, and then providing you with ways to test yourself when you come in the physical world. And maybe there's a way for you to record the changes in your, as a child growing up in Toronto or in Ontario, to record the changes that you observe. I can now run faster, or this time I made it 3/4 of the way around the climbing wall or something.
Right, right.
And so, you know, we provide you with a link that you're actually beginning to grow up with the Ontario Science Centre.
Oh, that's interesting.
Your repeated visits, either in the virtual realm or in the physical building, are actually helping you understand how you are growing up and developing. You know, so I think there are really interesting ways that all of the departments across the Science Center can get involved in thinking about what this digital museum will be like.
Well, and you know, also what's so fascinating to me, you see, in a school, you wouldn't have access to not just space that's created by design thinking or science in scientific methodology, or, you know, by drafting and fabricating 3D, like physical experiences, but the thinking that comes with that type of making and designing, you would not have in a school setting. And so that thinking might expand the marketplace of ideas that you develop within the educational realm. So I think it's quite exciting because you have all those types of different thinkers kind of, you know, within your environment, within your Science Center ecosystem. I wonder also about the role of the Science Center, and I know this is important to you, so I wonder about the role of the Science Center in the work of diversity and inclusion and creating experiences as a museum that are more inclusive of all of different types of people. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I often address this, and I have in thinking about what makes the Science Center welcoming to everyone. Like, how do you get people to know that they are welcome and to feel welcome when they come in the door? And this is everybody in our community. And then how do we make it accessible for everybody in the community?
Right.
So you not only have to know you're welcome, you have to make a choice. You know, if we're talking about a visit on a Saturday by a family, you know, there's a lot of things to do in the city. Why are you making the choice to come to the Ontario Science Centre? And it's great if we are the closest venue. So one thing I'm very proud of is actually our location in the city puts us in the middle of a large number of families who don't have accessibility to easy accessibility to downtown, for example, et cetera.
And right.
So our location already makes us feel accessible to some audiences that are non-traditional. But I recognize, and I think we may have talked about this the last time, I recognize too that you know, if you live at the example I always give is Weston Road and Finch. Mm-hmm. If you're a single parent at Weston Road and Finch, and you don't own a car, then the Ontario Science Centre is not on your radar. And so how do we make ourselves accessible to you to be able to come? And I think there's a real challenge in Canada. You know, it's interesting. I taught Teachers College here, and I would go to watch my student teachers teach across Southern Ontario from Oshawa to Hamilton. And it was very interesting because having worked now for 7 or 8 years, and actually longer, and in total probably 9 or 10 years in the United States, schools, at least in Ontario, are much more equal.
Mm-hmm.
The quality of the education you get at Emory Collegiate is certainly on a par with the quality of education you get at Forest Hills Collegiate.
Right.
Whereas in America, even though they're in the same school district, that the difference would be dramatic.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
But here that difference is quite small. But the difference is still there in terms of access to the things outside of the classroom. So a kid growing up going to Emory Collegiate, which is at Weston and Finch, which is why I keep giving that example.
Right.
They don't have the same access to the AGO, to the ROM, to the Ontario Science Centre, to the Toronto Zoo, to the park system, to all these different things that some kids grow up with. You know, and so how do you make that part of the lives of everybody in the community? Mm-hmm. And part of the expectation, you know, this can be who I am as well.
Right.
And I think that's, yeah, the way I talk about it, you know, we have to help kids across, you know, from diverse communities, from diverse socioeconomic status backgrounds, from all these different things. We have to help kids understand that they are actually building the future.
Mm-hmm.
The future is not something that just happens to them. They have the opportunity to build the future. And it doesn't matter if they grow up in Ontario housing. It doesn't matter if they grow up in Rosedale.
Yes.
They're still going to be the ones building the future. And they have to take responsibility for that and engage with it from the beginning. And so how does the Ontario Science Centre go out into diverse communities, into Indigenous communities in Ontario, into industrial cities like Hamilton and Windsor, and help kids understand that they are just as vital to helping us build the future as the kids who appear to have access to everything now. And so I think this idea of being diverse and inclusive, we have to make families feel welcome, know that they're welcome, and we have to get kids to understand that they need to engage with this kind of learning, et cetera, because this is what's going to help them.
Yes.
Future.
And it's a part of them that's natural.
You know, exactly. And you know, and I think, so let me use the example of El Paso where I last was.
Yes.
Where I last was CEO. You know, in a city like El Paso, it's a very poor city. It doesn't have a very diverse population. The population is 90-something% Hispanic. And I don't think a lot of kids grew up in El Paso thinking that they had an opportunity to shape the future. Mm. And the creation of the museum in El Paso was to change the way kids think about their future, to get them not to think, I'm going to be the same as, you know, I'm just growing up in this backwater and you know, instead you have to think of it as a kid growing up, what am I going to do to make the future different? Mm-hmm. And I think every child growing up in Toronto or in Ontario has the wherewithal. We have the facilities that every child could grow up to impact the future. And what we have to give every child the knowledge and the confidence that to know that they can shape the future, and then give them the tools to shape that future. And that's, you know, and that is where I think we have such a responsibility in inclusion and diversity, in being an anti-racist institution. It's not just in who we are, but it's in how we help kids imagine their futures. That's where a science center has such a huge impact.
I couldn't agree with you more. The other thing about the Science Center that I think is magical and sort of under seen is where it's embedded. So not just the humans that are living around it, but environmentally where it is embedded and the nature that the Science Center is embedded in. Is that an important part of what you're doing programmatically? I know it's obviously, you know, challenging digitally, but I guess there's so much there.
And I guess you're talking about the fact that we run down a ravine into a park.
And yes. Yes.
I don't think we've taken advantage of our geographic location to the extent that we could. And some of that is just the circumstances. You know, the building is welcoming at the top of this hill. At the bottom of the hill is a beautiful park that extends all the way, you know, to the city and all the way to the north end of the city from downtown along the river. But the Science Center faces away from that park. It mm-hmm. faces Don Mills. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't think we've done enough. We talk about feeling welcome. I don't think if you approach the Science Center from the park that you feel welcome. Mm-hmm. It's a parking lot and closed doors and no sign saying welcome or enter or anything like that. So I have to say we haven't tackled that to any extent since I've been back, but there have been discussions because we recognize that when we reopen, it's going to be in stages. It's not going to be as suddenly we throw the doors open and we are back to being who we were before.
Sure.
So
sure.
We're beginning to think about, okay, some people are going to be uncomfortable about coming in the building if it's busy. We have to maintain all of the safety that we can in terms of the way the building is run and how many people are allowed inside. So are there things we can do to bring the Science Center into the environment, the incredibly beautiful environment that we are part of? So those discussions are underway, but I would say we have not ever done enough to acknowledge the incredible architecture of the building and its incredible geographic location.
Well, it's only because I've spent so many years at the Science Center that I have that privilege of knowing the birds, the sounds and the songs and the diversity of birds that live around and that are embedded into, like, you know, as you descend down into the valley, you get to see many birds, and when you're outside, you get to hear them. So I think the Science Center is so special on so many ways. And I think because of your experience as an educator, but as someone who also has been a developer within the Science Center years back, and then all of your experience in different parts of the world, in different parts of the U.S., I think the Science Center is very lucky to have your leadership. I want to wish you continued well-being and growth. And I love that you are, you know, seeing the future in your patrons and your public that are coming to the Science Center. Paul, thank you so much. Or should I say Dr. Kortner, thank you very much for being here today and joining me in Let's Talk. It is a privilege to chat with you.
Well, thank you so much, Shay. I really appreciate the invitation, and I always enjoy talking to you. And actually, it's amazing. You know, I've been in this career now. I've been working for 31 years, and yet I'm still always excited to talk about these issues and to think about them again and to go back to first principles, because there are things about which I still need to learn a lot myself. Yes. And I just feel so lucky to be in a career that always allows me to reinvent myself and to go back to first principles and start again and say, okay, is this the right way to do this? Can we come up with another way to do this? And it's exciting to be in that kind of,
career,
in that environment.
I love it. I love it. Always learning, right? That's how we adapt.
Exactly.
Thank you for joining the conversation. We are growing an amazing community here at Let's Talk. Please share the show, make sure you're subscribing, and keep talking. And you can always reach out to me at CoachShayMarville.com or on Instagram at ShayMarville. Let's talk. Let's keep talking.